Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Carver, I got pulled over by the popo today.
You did?
Yeah.
For what?
I busted a NASCAR move on, you know, I did drafting on a 95-year-old lady that could barely see over the steering wheel, and I drafted on her. She was doing 20 and a 40, and it was driving me nuts. And then when there was an opening for a two-lane, the road becomes two lanes. I busted the move to the left around her hard, and I had no signal on as Johnny Rotten was hiding under the overpass.
So it was like a Kyle Aletta situation you had.
It was a trap, and then they came up and they brought multiple cars to the scene, multiple cops. They were looking throughout my car.
Come on.
I swear to God.
They were like, is this the car that was in that fender bender in front of on Hudson Street in Manhattan last night?
That's Rotter 80, Rotter 1840 Romeo Whiskey Velvet 911 assault. Rotter. We're in the Quicken Loans studios, National Mortgage Lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I love my high heat family card I have. Of course, high heat is sleeping with my sister. And so, stay away from my sister! So... And every time I get pulled over, I tell them that he's homicide, Jersey City son.
Ah, stay away from my sister.
And once again, high heat getting me out of a massive spike in my insurance points. You know what happens now? You get popped. You get all that, right? As a glory, a rub off, a little runoff there, like an election. You get a little runoff where they get you with points and your insurance goes up, right? Everybody jimmies you. They all work a little hustle on you. Is there anything worse than insurance companies in the world? Seriously. I mean, honestly, think about it. Well, how about these people that lose their homes in the weather and like, it was an act of God. We can't help you. Good luck, homeless. Hope nobody has to go through that. There's horrible storms in the southeast right now. Anyway, do you see all the people in New York at the election standing out in a pouring rain all day in like three-hour lines outside? Just people just getting absolutely drenched.
People wanted to vote.
It's even better when you see them, like, smoking, and they all smell, too, on top of everything else.
I saw all these stories and reports of, like, how people waited outside, like, for hours and stuff. Like
Mafia brings a dope stick. Oh, I'm sorry. That's my fault. It was a nightstick. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that I had difficulty, but I got out of it because of your boy High Heat. The cop said that he had pulled me over prior, and I said that I didn't recall that incident. And he said he did. He had a great memory. I said, so do I. I'd probably remember you, wouldn't I? Remember the one night I got pulled over, Mafia, up by the old crib when I went over the yellow line, and I was, like, pulling into the gas station up there on where the ice cream parlor is? Remember up by the place I take you for the Italian food? I got nailed there that night, and were you with me that night?
I don't think I was with you that night.
No, I don't think you were because you didn't drive with me then. So he pulled me over in the gas station, like I'm pumping gas at like 3 a.m, and he still nailed me. And I'm like, dude, really? I go, I'm straight, bro. I swear to you. He's like, we're gonna do a sobriety test right here, mister. And because I moved over, he said, why'd you go over the line? I go, I was changing the radio station on Sirius. I was like pressing the button, looking down, and I went over the line. I go, I just got off work. They never believe you. They think you're a heroin dealer. It's like the worst. How many times have I been pulled over? Like 50.
Bunch, yeah. Many, many, many times.
And Mafia drives my car. He drives twice as fast as me. The other night he drove me home. We were doing $105.
I had work to do.
I believe that. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-2124. CBS brought to you by Geico. Hey, everybody, here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, motorcycle, or boat insurance? Get it all at geico.com. That's why I go to Geico, Mafia, because whenever I have tragedies, they always come through for me.
They gave you good rates despite all your tickets?
I always save money with Geico. It's unbelievable. It's like I get tickets, points, insurance goes up. But Geico's like, man, you're incredible, Pharrell. We're going to let you save money anyway, even though you're a troublemaker and a heathen. So anyway, are you surprised tonight, Carver? I had a Calgary's losing to the Ducks, who've hit hard times. You think the Kings are on hard times? Remember when the Ducks came out on fire at the start of the season? Everybody's like, the Ducks are going to the Stanley Cup final. Now they're like under 500.
Yeah, they've hit a little bit of a rough patch here, that's for sure. And it's a bad time around the league to hit rough patches when a three-time Stanley Cup winning coach is now available.
Do you think that it's crucial? Because, you know, a lot of people wait till you hear the guy the other night, Cook, they turn it on and in February and March when they make a move to get in the playoffs. Do you think it's better to play good, solid hockey, like, you know, a 3 or 4 game above 500 type hockey constantly from October on, where you can gain valuable points and assets so that later in the season you're not playing every night for your life?
Yeah, I mean, it's better, obviously, if you played consistently throughout the season. It's never good to go up and down, up and down, up and down, and then you don't know where you're going to be when you get to mid-March and when you get to real playoff time. But playing, you know, winning games now, it's the same as winning games then. You got to bank points any chance that you can get.
How popular is the Aisle Seat podcast now that the Isles are in first place in the Metro, riding on the Metro? How excited are the fans on the Aisle Seat podcast?
It's been pretty good. It's been a lot of fun so far, that's for sure. Very unexpected. I don't think anybody expected this, and the listeners have been there.
Do you think that they can dance with the Lightning and the Leafs and the Capitals and the Penguins, and they already beat them twice, but the rest of the way?
Well, they got the Lightning on Thursday night down in Tampa. So tomorrow night they're in Tampa to take on the Lightning.
Do you think they'll beat them there?
No, I don't go into that game expecting to win. Here's how I look at
them. You got to want to
win. Here's how I look at them
every game
going forward. Every week I kind of look at blocks of who they're playing. Like, they're going on a 2-game roadie here. They're hitting both Florida teams, right? Going to Tampa Thursday. Saturday night they'll be down to take on the Panthers. The way I look at it, get one of them. Just split that, and I'm fine with that, because they've got some teams coming up at home that they should get wins over. So you just have to just keep building and just keep grabbing those points.
And,
but the podcast response has been very good.
Riding on the mountain. So how excited are you that I have been able to, it would appear to me on a nightly basis, slip in a hockey segment with you?
Yeah, it's still early. We know that. We'll get a little bit more into it after the new year, but there's been some stuff to talk about. I mean, between Quenneville getting fired, a couple surprising teams, we've had reason to talk about it.
So I wanted to bring up one thing here while I'm at it, because I'll talk with Grant Paulson about the Capitals. He does the Capitals, right? They beat the Penguins tonight. That was a big win. And, you know, they scored late, and that was it. There were 3 games tonight. Predators are up 2-0 in Rado against the Avs. They've both been good teams. Predators are one of the best teams in the league. And the Flames have been really good, but they're losing now 2-1. They finally put one on the board. Kachuk, excuse me, with his 7th for the Flames. Is that Keith's kid?
Yes.
How about them apples? All right, there you go. I just saw his goal, a power play goal for Kachuk. Thank you. Excuse me. And then I just wanted to say there's NBA tonight, so we'll talk more hockey with Paulson when he comes on and other stuff. And I wanted to tell you there's a ton of NBA tonight. Jazz, 101-92 on top of the Mavs in Salt Lake Shakers. The Raptors are beating the Kings 64-51 at the half in Sacktown. T-Wolves up on the Lakers by 5, 9 left in the second. I'm watching that game. Thunder win in Cleveland, 95-86. Pistons win in Orlando, 103-96. Knicks win in Atlanta, 112-107. I hit all 3 of those games. I had the Heat with the spread, 95-88 over the Spurs in Miami. I got burned on the Sixers, 194 over the Pacers. And I took the Grizzlies and the points over the Nuggets with the spread in Memphis, and they won 89-87. I think that team's pretty good. And the Pelicans over the Bulls. And I think I double covered there as well. If I remember correctly, weren't they getting 10.5 from the Pelicans? And they covered, I think, 107-98. I think they actually did cover that number. I could be wrong, but I think it was 10.5. There you go. Do you know how they, like, you know, ESPN or whatever will put out their spreads with every game, like when they got the, you know, the forecast for, like, the day's games, and then they show the matchup where the game is, everything else, and then the spread and everything, you know, and the total? Don't you think after the game when the final is posted, they should put up the betting result as well? Do you think that they should do that? Because why do they preview it with it and then they don't give you the result? Like, the difference is in Vegas, you get all the results as a bettor with the cover and the total and the, you know, spread, money line, all that's available to you. Don't you think it's better to do that?
Absolutely, but they're too scared to go full out with it. You know, they're going to go toe in the water and say, okay, here's the spread, but they're not going to tell you whether or not it comes to fruition.
I have to tell you, I want to do this story, and then we're going to interview later Grant Paulson at 11:40. But I want to do this right now. We could do two segments. The thing is, George Steinbrenner, the story by Wallace Matthews, the writer in New York, that George Steinbrenner belongs in the Hall of Fame, regardless of whether you loved him or hated him, the late Yankees owner. And I got to tell you, I couldn't agree with it more. Now, as you know, this goes back a real long time, Mafia. I don't know if you knew this or not, but I used to, like, fight with that guy. Do you remember?
You fight with somebody? Never.
But, I mean, I never got along with him.
It's not a surprise.
I just don't think he liked me very much. And as you know, I can be very nasty.
Most people in power and sports do not like you very much because you tell it like it is. You don't just, like, sugarcoat it and kiss her ass.
So that guy hates me, right? I'm pretty certain of that. But I could be wrong because years have gone by since there was any animosity or like, you know, real tension. I haven't given a rat's ass about that guy in 15 years, right? So, but I used to fight with him when I was on in New York. And then I saw his article today, Carver High, and I sent it to you out of respect because I actually agree with the guy, which I never had a problem agreeing with people I don't like. You know, just because I don't like you doesn't mean you can't be right about things or write good columns or do good appearances on TV or whatever, or fight with me, and it doesn't mean I don't respect what you do. I think the guy wrote a great piece. I couldn't agree with him more. Now, a lot of people think he was, you know, thrown out of baseball, suspended, everything else, Steinbrenner. There is no guy that I honestly, there is no one that I respect more of what he meant to baseball than that guy. I mean, honestly. You know, people are always talking about Pete Rose and everything, right? That it just never ends, the Pete Rose getting into the Hall of Fame talk, right? And then now they've tried to start up this Bonds, Clemens, A-Rod thing, right? And that now that's kind of a flavor of the day. But how about this one for a flavor of the day? I think that Steinbrenner is more important than all of them. I mean, that guy, I don't care what you think about him, he impacted baseball in a huge way. The evil empire, all of that is all because of him. All the wars with the Boston Red Sox were not because of, actually, in my opinion, baseball, actually, Carver High. It was because of Steinbrenner. He hated him like no other. And it was just palpable. And then, like, the things that he did for baseball, like the amount of money he paid players, like Reggie Jackson and all these other guys, right? Dave Winfield. Think of the money this guy spent. People don't like it, but those deals that he swung for Reggie Jackson, those are enormous baseball-changing moves. It's no different than now. You're talking about a guy like Bryce Harper going to make $300-$500 million, right? It was the same thing with Reggie Jackson. And the way that guy lit up managers like Billy Martin, their relationship, their relationship alone, just those two, Martin and Steinbrenner, they both deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. For their, he fired him five times, right?
The other one.
I think they both should be in the Hall of Fame. And people say, oh, he was a drunk and everything else. You can't tell me Billy Martin didn't have a huge place in baseball. I mean, enormous. That guy's name will live in infamy, won't it? As much as, do you think Thurman Munson and guys like that? I do. No one's ever going to forget Billy Martin.
No, I agree with you. I think he should be in the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt.
So I'd love to come back and hear what you think of him, like, because I'm a lot older, and I want to know what you thought of him in the later years of his life.
Right, because I didn't really get the Billy Martin. You know, I was a little bit after the Billy Martin, Reggie Jackson type of stuff in the late 70s.
I got all that.
Yeah, so I'm more, you know, when he first got suspended and things like that.
He was a lunatic. But tell me you didn't respect him or be in fear of him, like at work.
There's nobody else I would have rather had on the Yankees than him.
I mean, honestly, I've always said his kids, no offense, I think one of them's a slick businessman. The other one's kind of, right, a little goofy, right? Is that fair to say? One of them, they don't
Hank.
Want him. One
Hank,
of them,
Hank.
They don't want him in public.
Well, he started talking after George first passed away, and they nixed that fast.
Right. So,
he was saying some crazy stuff, and he was kind of starting to act like George a little bit.
A little LeVar Ball
and then,
type thing.
And then Hal got in there and said, no. Hal and the sisters, they kind of got a hold of him and said, You're not going to be out here anymore, so see ya. And they made Hal the new face of the ownership, and that's been good for them.
He was a bully, a convicted felon. He was pardoned for illegal campaign contributions, twice suspended from baseball, and then he hired a lowlife, listen to this, Howie Spira, to dig up dirt on Dave Winfield. I mean, just the stuff he did was crazy, but I think he's got to be in the Hall of Fame. 855-212-4227. If you have an opinion at all in your brain, in your skull, about what you think of George Steinbrenner, even if you love him or hate him, I'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4CBS.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
I don't think he's ever gotten a vote, Carver High. Can you believe that? But the last time he came up for consideration, he failed to get a single vote. So no one likes him. He's been shut out. In the last two times he was on a ballot, he got zero support. Does that not surprise you? That is crazy to me. Who in their right mind can sit here and tell me there was a bigger owner and who is a bigger owner in baseball? Who?
Nobody.
To this day, nobody. Right? Like, who? You're going to tell me even the guy in Boston? I mean, they've been great and everything, winning World Series. But, I mean, it's impressive. I'll give you that. I'm not disrespecting what they've done, right? But nothing like this Yankee team, right? What were they going to win, 5 in a row? They were going to win 5 in a row. And how many they got, 27? Not all with him, but he was there for a lot of them, right?
I can't stand these silly committees anyway. You know, they have now, they took the Veterans Committee and they split it up into these three, modern era, this era. I think it's ridiculous because you got guys on... You know, they change up who decides and who votes. It's all silly to me.
Remember the Veterans Committee is now known as today's Game Era Committee. Which
right,
is...
and then there's also there's three of them now. They rotate each year. Like every 3 years, this one comes up.
He's among 10 men who will be considered. The other nine are Harold Baines, Albert Bell, Joe Carter, Will Clark, Oral Hershiser, Davey Johnson, Charlie Manuel, Lou Piniella, and Lee Smith. I have to tell you... that all of them had, you know, certain respect that I would give them in baseball, all of them. But there is no way you can tell me that even one of them was bigger than George Steinbrenner.
So he was suspended twice.
Right.
While owner. Once was in 74 for the illegal campaign donations
right.
to Richard Nixon. 15 months he was suspended that time.
And then the Winfield.
1990. Paying gambler Howard Spear to find dirt on Dave Winfield. So those were her that was a 3-year ban. And during that 3-year time is when really Gene Michael got to run the Yankees, and the Yankees ended up acquiring a bunch of the players that would then form their dynasty teams of the late 90s.
Right. Rob in Boise, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Scotty, love the show, my friend.
Thanks.
I listen to you every night, my man.
Thanks, dude.
You bet. So my opinion and my take on Steinbrenner and the Hall of Fame is this. For the first 16 years of my life, I grew up in Los Angeles. So, and I think, Scotty, you and I are the same age. I'm 53. So,
yeah, yeah.
I couldn't stand Steinbrenner. I was a Dodger fan, and his teams beat my team. You know, in 77 and 78, couldn't stand the guy. But let's face it, he was huge. I mean, he was huge for the game of baseball. And when you think of the decades of the 70s and the 80s, other than baseball players themselves, the three big names in those two decades were Steinbrenner, Lasorda, and Billy Martin. Am I wrong?
Not at all.
So I think the guy deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Absolutely. And that's my take, Scotty. Have a great night.
My man, Rob, listen, you got to – I just don't understand it. I really don't. Like, you know what it is? It's pretty obvious that people just didn't like him, right? So everybody hated the Yankees owner because he was a tyrant. But I just – it ceases to amaze me. It really never does that How do you, like, you have to put that stuff aside, I think, when you're talking about an impact on the sport, right? Like, you can hate him all you want, but you cannot talk about baseball or the Yankees without talking about George Steinbrenner. It's just impossible. You know, what they try to do all the time is talk about Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth. They always try to do this, and then they do this Thurman Munson thing, and they always do it. But you cannot avoid George Steinbrenner. I mean, everything that happened in the Bronx was because of this guy. I mean, literally everything. And I just think it is laughable that they zero support, zero votes. That is crazy to me because I think you're an idiot if you don't see what he meant to the game and to the sport, the business of baseball. And I can guarantee you one thing. Every great high-paid free agent ever in baseball was they were licking their chops to cut a deal with George Steinbrenner because he paid more than anybody. And people say, oh, they had more money than everybody. They spend more of their payroll. But they say that about the Dodgers now, don't they? And the Dodgers spend more than anybody, and they don't win. They win regular season games. They win playoff games, but they don't win the World Series. I mean, they don't. So, but the Yankees don't even have the highest payroll anymore, right? But they did when he was around, and he spent more money. He made everyone that played for him rich. Those guys are absolutely laughing all the way to the bank to this day. Trust me, you. The money Reggie Jackson made, and Dave Winfield, just those two names. Like, I could talk about 50 more that played for them. And it was because this guy, you know, spent money. And, I mean, it was just a war with him and everyone. He argued with everybody, the media, the players. He humiliated people. But no one ever, you never went a day without reading about that guy in the tabloids in New York. You never once ignored George Steinbrenner, ever. You can't be that big and then be ignored, in my opinion, for the Hall of Fame. Like, he was so much more gargantuan. You know, the only guy that can even remotely come close to that guy was Charlie Finley. That was it. Do you remember those great A's teams with all those guys on that? Raleigh Fingers and all these guys, Vida Blue. You go on and on. There was nobody besides Charlie Finley and George Steinbrenner. You cannot talk about baseball without talking about him. I think it's laughable that he doesn't get a vote. That, to me, is absurd. It's just, you have got to be an idiot. You really do, to ignore what that guy has meant to baseball. You can't even argue with it. I mean, it's not even worth arguing about. Like, what, you don't like him? So what? You know, that's funny. Like, he's the only guy everybody's hated. I mean, he's one of millions, right? Everybody hates everybody. Everybody's talking bad about everybody. But that guy, you cannot talk about baseball without talking about him. If you ask me, it's that simple. All right, later, we're going to talk to Grant Paulson coming up here in a few minutes. And then Les Miles, you hear the rumor about him? That he's possibly going to get the Kansas job in football? He may, you know, in my opinion, think twice about that. You could go from being one of the great coaches of all time. Didn't Charlie Weiss go there and end up, like, homeless? Did he not, like, go there and learn the hard way?
Didn't go well for him there.
It's not going to go well for anyone there coaching football, in my opinion. Right? I mean, do you really believe that he can make Kansas win? Who goes there to play football?
No.
I mean, honestly, it really is amazing.
I have to believe that he can get a better job.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
The Home Depot Foundation's annual celebration of service season has begun. Join the Home Depot to help improve the quality of life for veterans. Visit serveveterans.com for more information on how you can help in your community. CBS Super Bowl season continues Sunday with an exciting doubleheader. First, Brady and the Pats travel south to take on Mariota and the Titans. Then, an NFC West showdown between the Seahawks and Rams at the Coliseum in Lipstick City. The action kicks off at the NFL today, presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS. Grant Paulson does a great show on The Fan in D.C. He's been on the bench before. We get a lot to talk about in our nation's capital tonight. Grant, how you been, brother?
Good, Scott. How are you?
I'm well. I have body pain from playing basketball, but other than that, I'm feeling like a pimp. So,
yeah, that goes.
I wanted to say one last thing, Mafia. Did you see that, speaking of pimps, that the guy, our friend Dennis Hoff, our old buddy, he won the state assembly seat in Nevada, even though he's dead. He still won the election yesterday.
No, I haven't seen that.
That's awesome. All right, so Grant's like, what's he? Is he really talking about a brothel owner on my interview? Actually, I was. I was friends with that guy. He was great. I did not go there and cause trouble, though. I have standards. Anyway, tell me about the Harper deal. Is it true? Do you believe all of that? That they offered him $300 million and no opt-outs?
Yeah, I definitely believe that, because I think while nationally a lot of people, Scott, are making this out to be an introductory offer for the Nats to jumpstart a negotiation, I believe this to be their one offer and the end of the negotiation. It's my belief, and it has been for a while, that they would do what they had to do to save face, might be overstated, but make it appear as though they made a valiant effort and a real attempt to re-sign him. But I think what this offer says, and I think people can relate to this, whatever job you do, every time your company offers you an amount of money, it says something. It's a statement. And when you offer a guy who's going to sign for more than that and is going to get an opt-out clause, less money and not that, I think basically this offer said, if you want to come back to the Nationals, we're happy to have you back. But we don't need you, and we're not desperate to have you back. They have prepared for life after him. They feel like their outfield's in a real good spot even without him. And while they'd be thrilled if Bryce Harper wanted to stay for cheaper than he can get on the open market, they basically made an offer to be able to say that they made a one-time exchange in the negotiation, and they didn't just let him walk so that they can tell their fans, we tried.
So Scott Boras says he's a generational player. Do you believe that?
I do. I think that he has a unique skill set. He has power graded on a scouting scale, on a 20-80 scale at 80, that few players in the sport have. Look, when he was fully healthy in the 2015 season, he had a year the likes of which has never really happened before. And don't get me wrong, Mookie Betts this year in the American League did things that Harper's never done. And Mike Trout, who's the best player in baseball, has done things that Harper can't. But that MVP season he had going back three campaigns ago was a year that Betts nor Trout nor anybody else has ever had. If you look at the on-base percentage and the walks and the power and the combination of things he put together, he is a differentiating player. He can carry a team deep into the playoffs. He's a game changer when he's healthy. The problem is he's had a couple years like that. He's had far more years not like that because of not being 100%, and maybe more importantly because there is inconsistency to his game. There is a little bit more boom or bust maybe than was sold when the Nationals drafted him at number one overall. So, yeah, I think he deserves whatever he gets on the open market. I think he's going to get a record amount of money, but it's not going to be in Washington. And the Nationals, as I said, have spent the last couple years preparing to move on without him, and I think they're just fine doing so.
Grant Paulson from The Fan in D.C., do you think you have any idea at all where you surmise he'll end up? And how much money do you think he'll get?
So this is complete speculation. I think he's going to end up with the Phillies, if I had to guess. And that's 100% a guess, but it's just been my hunch all along. I didn't think the Yankees made a lot of sense, definitely not after they made the trade this past offseason for Giancarlo Stanton. I know Boras is trying to advocate for the notion you could move him to first base now. I would say that the Dodgers are absolutely an option. I wouldn't rule out the San Francisco Giants as a sleeper. I don't think the Cubs would bring him in. I know everyone thinks that could be a landing spot. He's best buddies with Chris Bryant. His dog's named Wrigley. I don't buy that because I don't think you can sign him and then re-sign Bryant, and I'm not sure why you would choose Harper, who's never done anything for you, over a guy who's helped bring you a World Series and who's a fan favorite. So the Phillies, to me, would make a lot of sense. They've got the money. They're on the precipice of potentially overtaking Washington in the National League East, vying with the Nats and Atlanta in that division for years to come. They need offense. They need power. And he's tailor-made for that ballpark. I just think it'd be a really good fit and makes a ton of sense.
Let me ask you, and a quick response from you on this lastly, because I want to talk about other things here as well. Just tell me what you think. Was he cool to you guys or not when he was there? Was he cool to the media and talk shows and the press that covered him?
Yes, I like him. I find him to be approachable for a superstar. Look, like most guys of his ilk, I mean, he was a little bit moody. I mean, but he loves talking about things that aren't Bryce Harper and aren't baseball. Like, I had a great conversation with him once about the Las Vegas Golden Knights, where he wouldn't stop talking and he acted like a season ticket holder
right.
who sat in the 400s. He is a decent guy, and I did enjoy my time around him. I found him to be professional and accommodating.
All right, so now we move on to the Skins. How do you think they're doing? And do you think they can win five games in the second half? And do you think they can win in Tampa?
I do think they can win in Tampa. I don't think they'll win five games in the second half. And one thing that your listeners have to know is that they have, statistically, coming into this past weekend, the easiest remaining schedule in the National Football League. They have one winning team on the rest of their resume, and that's the Houston Texans, who I think are a fraudulent, you know, six wins in a row club. But they are playing pretty good football, obviously. They play them next week in Washington. The problem is, as you know, they've lost a lot of bodies. Paul Richardson is their fastest wide receiver. Trent Williams is a six-time Pro Bowl left tackle who's out for at least two more games. They've lost a Pro Bowl right guard, Brandon Sheriff, for the season, and they're starting left guard Sean LaValle for the season. So 60% of their offensive line will be patchworked ahead of Alex Smith this weekend in Tampa. Smith is playing really poorly. The only thing they've got on offense is a running game, and they're relying on 33-year-old Adrian Peterson to stay healthy. Their defense is much improved, and that gives them a chance. They've been protecting the football and not turning it over, which is why they're 5-3. But I just think the clock's going to strike midnight because of some of these offensive line injuries.
So, Grant Paulson with us. So you think the Eagles will pass them and win that division?
Yeah, I do, because Philadelphia plays Washington twice. Now, there's a great chance that the Redskins hold on if they can at least split with the Eagles, and that's a possibility. I don't see them beating Philly on Monday night. That's 4 weeks away. They play terrible on Monday night, and that's on the road. I think they could get a Week 17 win against the Eagles at home, but at that point, you've got to be playing for the division. You've got to position yourself. They got to steal a win somewhere against the team that you're not expecting them to beat. There are some victories on the schedule. The New York Giants, as an example, I think they can beat the Cowboys when they play again. But they're going to have to go to Jacksonville or win. They're going to have to maybe beat the Titans in Nashville if they're going to be in position. I think it's going to take 10 wins, Scott, to win the NFC. You might be able to win on a tiebreaker at 9-7. And the good news for them is they're playing the Eagles twice, being 2-0 in the NFC East, being 5-2 in the conference. They're tiebreaker friendly right now.
Grant Paulson with us on the bench. What do you think of the Capitals and their nice win tonight over the Penguins, 2-1, and Ovi's on top of the league scoring goals again?
Sensational win for those people that didn't see any of it. Braden Holtby made 41 saves on 42 shots. It was far and away his best performance of the year. TJ Oshie took a stick to just above the eye, left the game to get stitches, came back into the game, took a chicken wing shoulder from Evgeny Malkin to the melon that could end up leading to Malkin hearing from the league office, Department of Player Safety. Oshie left the ice, went into the back for repairs. He's had concussion protocol because he's had a lot of concussion problems. Came back out onto the ice to score the game winner with a little over a minute left. So it was a home game, third straight for the Capitals, second straight win. First time all year they've won back-to-back games, believe it or not. One of three teams that hadn't done that coming into the week. But you mentioned Ovechkin on the power play from his office in the faceoff circle. Now, he is at 12 goals right now in 14 games. The dude just does not slow down. He's a machine, and he doesn't break.
It really is incredible. And then the Penguins have lost five in a row. Let's talk about the Wizards. How bad is it now at 2-8, and they have been ugly?
They're terrible. They don't play defense. They give up three-point shots to anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter, by the way, if you're a team that shoots well or you don't. Teams like Dallas get fat and get right against them. And you go back to a little over a half week ago against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the NBA. They torched them from behind the arc. It's a lot of uncontested, easy looks. There's no such thing as a bad shot right now against this team. And they're giving up well over 100 over their last several games. And a lot of the time when they lose, it's not competitive. Scott Brooks is under contract, you know, for 2 years after this year. And because he makes $7 million, I don't think he's going anywhere. John Wall's on a supermax contract. You know, Bradley Beal is high paid. Otto Porter makes $26 million a year. They have painted themselves into a corner with general manager Ernie Grunfeld, who still has a job after years of mediocrity or worse. And they don't really have options or assets. I don't know what they can do other than if they decide at some point to hit detonate and try to get in position at the top of the board to take one of the college sensations that could turn things around if you build around that player and say Beal or Wall, whoever you choose to keep as the core guy. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to ride it out. You know, in the past, they've gotten off the starts, not quite this bad, but poor, where John Wall becomes the player of the month in December and they go on a crazy run. And I think they're going to put their eggs in that basket. But there's one team before tonight with a worse record in basketball than the Wizards, and it was the Cavs. what a difference a year makes.
I mean, it is unbelievable. To me, it's like watching them now. I know it sounds crazy, but it's like their season's already over. I mean, it's like, I know they
It feels that way, dude. I mean, Scott, I'm telling you, we can't – I mean, you've done radio for so long at such a high level. You know this, but we can't talk about the Wizards. Today is the most we talked about them on our show in D.C., just basically – and the idea was, wow, this is worse than we even thought.
Right.
But the interest has waned to an extent where it's Redskins. Now that the Caps are cup champs, some Caps. You can kind of mix in some Bryce Harper news here and there. But the one thing that you are taking a risk doing on the radio is talking about the Wizards.
Wow, that's crazy. Grant, great stuff. We'll see how things go over like the next month for him. Capitals look good tonight. Skins Tampa on Sunday in the Gulf Coast down in Florida, and we'll see where Mr. Harper ends up. And I did work out with him once in Vegas, and he was cool and a normal guy, and he loves it there, and he always has. I'm not surprised at all. He loves the Golden Knights, but we'll see. It's going to be very interesting to see what he gets, the kind of money, and where he ends up. Grant, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on the bench.
Yeah, my pleasure, Scotty. Take care, man.
All right, Grant Paulson from The Fan in D.C. Mavi, where do you think of Bryce Harper's going? Are you on the same train as everybody else with Philly?
Yeah, it seems to be where it's pointing. I mean, the way that he's definitely not going back there, what Grant talked about with all the other situations around the league where it doesn't really fit in for a lot of these places. Philly's got the money, they got the need, and he's following all these guys. Why not?
Mavi is now eating a giant pork chops in the kitchen area. He runs from the studio to the kitchen to take one slice at a time to get in a – it's like an aerobic workout going from back and forth because he would never eat in the studio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.